Matthew's Gospel and the 23rd chapter and the verse 37 is a verse that I want to leave with you this evening. The words of the Lord Jesus, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. The Lord Jesus, as he speaks these words, is coming to the end of his ministry in Jerusalem. He's coming to the end of his ministry. In a sense, these are farewell words in the temple. He's in the temple for the last time. It's a very solemn occasion. The Lord has spent much of that final day in the temple teaching. And you can read an account of that lesson and instruction, because it runs from chapter 21 and verse 23 right to the end of chapter 23. All that instruction was given in the temple that final day. Now the Lord Jesus is about to leave the temple. He's about to speak his last word. And the words of our text are the final words that he speaks unto them. And after he speaks them, he goes out. Chapter 24, verse 1, Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And that's not just the usual departure. And that's not just the usual going out of the temple after a service. That's the final going out. That's the final departure from the temple. These are the words that have followed verse 38. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. I'm going out. I'm departing. I'm leaving it for the last time. Ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And he went out and departed. And the disciples have felt the solemnity of him, and they've tried to hold him back and restrain him. And they've said, they've tried to show him the buildings of the temples, of the temple. And then verse 2, Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So it's a very solemn passage of the Word of God. These farewell words in the temple. And it is the words of verse 37, especially, as I have said, that I want to examine with you tonight. Because really they reveal the Lord's passionate lament. The Lord's passionate lament of love over the city of Jerusalem. And his regretful longing over those whose doom is so near. We consider then the Lord's lament over Jerusalem. I would have gathered thy children. I want to draw attention to several things as we consider the Lord's lament over Jerusalem. I want you to consider, first of all, the need and necessity of gathering. The inhabitants of Jerusalem needed to be gathered. And the Lord Jesus said, I would have gathered thy children together. So there's a great need in the city. It's a need of gathering. The image, of course, is very striking. The Lord views the inhabitants of Jerusalem as chicks, as young birds, roaming, wandering, in great danger. And they need to be gathered. In a word, they're lost. They're lost, and they're roaming about. They're wandering around, in their lost state. They're in great danger. They need to be gathered. The need and necessity of gathering. And this lost condition of the inhabitants of Jerusalem arises not from mere creature stupidity, as among young chicks, but this lost condition arises because of their sinfulness, because of the enmity of their hearts against God. The real problem of the inhabitants of Jerusalem is sin. They're lost because of sin, and they need gathered because of their sin. The Lord is not talking about the gathering of the people for deliverance from the Romans. Of course, he foresees the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem by the hand of the Romans. But he's not merely speaking here of their being gathered together to be delivered from the Romans. He's not speaking about that. He's not talking about gathering them together in a campaign against Roman tyranny. In fact, if the Lord Jesus had have gathered them for that, they would have run to him. Many a false leader was gathered, sought to gather them to overcome Roman tyranny, and they followed him. And that's how they were destroyed, ultimately, in the end. But the Lord Jesus isn't talking about gathering them to rebel against Caesar and against the Roman occupation. No, no. He's talking about gathering them from sin. Gathering them from their lost condition and state. I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. That's what he's talking about. The Lord is talking about gathering them together in a right relationship to God. To these people God has sent his word. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together? The Lord would have gathered them. And he wouldn't just have gathered them, as it were, now in his physical presence in their midst, but those prophets who before preached Christ, and those men who before Christ even came were sent to preach Christ, who they stoned. Even then would the Lord, as it were, was willing to gather them. But they would not. The Lord is talking about a right relationship with God. They were lost in sin. Lost and separated from God, and in need of being gathered, in need of being brought in under the wing. And being in a lost estate, and being in a roaming state, they of course were in grave danger, weren't they? And that's what the Lord is ultimately thinking about here. He foresees their doom, and he laments their doom, and says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, they're in grave danger." And that's particularly in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ here, the danger of being eternally forsaken by God. The danger of hell's damnation, verse 33. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? That's the real danger. And not the Romans just. The danger of hell. I would have gathered thy children together. This was their great need. And that great need the Lord Jesus Christ was sufficient to meet. I would have gathered thy children together. So the need and necessity of gathering. And my fellow sinner tonight, you have the same need. You're lost. You're lost in sin. You're separated from God. And you need to be gathered under the wing of the Lord Jesus. You need to be brought into the fold and family of God by the Savior's embrace. You need to be saved. And being lost, you're in danger. The image here is of chicks that are wandering about. And of course, whenever chicks are wandering about, the mother hen will give an alarm if there's danger. A bird of prey perhaps in the air. And the mother will give the call. And the chicks will come running under the wing. They'll be gathered under the wing from the danger in the safety of the refuge of the wing. And sinner, that's your danger. Because there hovers over your head not merely a bird of prey, but the wrath of Almighty God because it says those that believe not, and those that are not under the wing of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the wrath of God abideth upon them, like a bird of prey hovering over their heads, ready to descend and swallow them up. And you need to be gathered under the wing of Jesus. So there's the need and necessity of gathering. But then I want to draw your attention to the name and the nature of the gatherer. We draw attention to the gatherer now. Let us think about him. I would have gathered thy children together. This is Jesus of Nazareth. This was him who was born of Mary. This was him who the Jews said concerning, he was the son of Joseph. Jesus of Nazareth, the despised Galilean, I would have gathered thy children. You know, just think about that claim of Jesus for a moment. It's a remarkable claim, isn't it? I suppose there were 1 million inhabitants in Jerusalem at this time. A very large population indeed. It was the time of Passover that was approaching, and the population would have greatly been increased, and those children drawing into the walls of the city would have been increasingly becoming larger. And concerning every one of them, the children of Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus said, God manifested in flesh said, I would have gathered thy children. Now that's some claim. What manner of man is this that makes such a claim? 1 million souls and he'll gather them under his wing? As easy as a hen gathers a half a dozen of her chickens under her wing? What manner of man is this that makes such a claim? Who is this? Who is this person that makes such a high and mighty claim to gather 1 million souls under his wing? Who is he? Well, if you study your Bible, you'll know who he is. Because this is not a new claim of the Lord. This is an Old Testament claim of Almighty God. Moses sung of this being. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so Jehovah alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. Whose are the wings that bear the people? Whose are the wings that shelter the people? Under whose wings did the people of Israel abide in olden times? The wings of Jehovah. I would have gathered. It's Jehovah Jesus that makes this claim. We read Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. You see, the Lord Jesus isn't making some new claim. The people knew what Christ was claiming. He's claiming to have the wings of Jehovah. He's calling us to come and trust under his wings. He's calling us to come and abide under his wings. Who does this man think he is? And the Jews rejected him. He's not the Son of God. He's not our Jehovah Jesus. But I tell you this. He's my Jehovah Jesus. And under his wings I trust. And I've come to rest under the shadow of this Most High God. It was said to Ruth by Boaz, The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Here was Ruth, a Moabitess. She didn't know the Lord. But you know, there were some saved people went down to Moab from Israel who did know the Lord. And they brought Ruth the gospel. And Ruth came to trust under the wings of Jehovah. She was gathered in under those wings. And that's a metaphor of saving faith. She come to trust in the Lord. She come to abide under the refuge of the Most High, in the shadow of his wings. She come to rest in him. And of course she went to Israel, the land where the Lord was known and revealed in his word, because she wanted to know his people, and the Lord was her God, and she followed him. But before she came to Israel, she came to the Lord. Before she came to the land, she came under the wing of the Lord. And in the fullness of time, that Lord came into the earth. And as his human form appeared among men, he gave the same call. I would have gathered thy children. My wings are open wide. And there's room for sinners. And they can come in. But you would not. So that's the name of the gatherer. It's the Lord Jesus, isn't it? It's Jehovah Jesus. The gatherer is the Lord. But not only is it the name of the gatherer, there's his nature here. And really we want to think about that, don't we? Because we see here his merciful character and his tender and compassionate disposition. This verse of scripture really gives us a looking glass into our divine Saviour's heart. I know there's a mystery about this text. I know the Lord foresees the destruction of Jerusalem. I know there's an eternal decree concerning it. And I'm not unaware of the decrees of God in predestinating grace. But that does not cause me to deny the gracious disposition of the Lord Jesus, even as he in his human form foresees the destruction of these miserable sinners. I would have gathered, but you would not. We can see his kindness. We can see the free offer of the gospel. I would have gathered. In fact, we can see his long suffering, and we can see the repeated offerings. What is it the Lord says there? How often? Not once, not twice, but many times, time and time again I came. I came in the prophets. I came in those men that you stoned. I came myself in my flesh. How often would I have gathered thee? Often would I have done it. Every miracle was an offering of his grace. Every sermon was an offering of the gospel. Every preacher he sent out to proclaim his gospel in his name was an offer of grace. I would, ye would not. And he had these many invitations, and he had these many offerings. Even in the face of the greatest guilt and the worst of sins, even the sin of murder. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou whose hands are stained with blood, thou who hast killed the prophets, thou who hast stoned to death preachers of the gospel that I have sent unto thee myself, I would have gathered thee. Ye would not. That's grace. That's long-suffering. That's kindness. The kindness, of course, is shown prominently in the illustration, because the Lord would not just gather them together, but the Lord would gather them together with maternal affection. The illustration here is of affection. The mother hen, of course, has affection for the chicks. The mother hen is one who will even die for the chicks. The mother hen, there are some hens that will actually die in the fire and not run away from the danger, that they might protect their young. And there are striking examples of this in history and in experience. The tenderness of maternal affection. We can see here his desire to be a refuge to all that will flee under his wing, to all that will come to him. We can see, hear the words, and we can join it to this text. Come, come unto me, all ye that labour. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The wings are stretched out. The arms of the Lord are open. The sinner can come in. My fellow sinner, there's room for you under the wing of Jesus. Perhaps you say to me tonight, preacher, I'm too great a sinner. The Lord won't take me in. Well, these people, many of them were stained with blood. Blood of murder. Murdering preachers. And the Lord had his wings open. They could come in. There was room. There's room in the, under the wing of Jesus. And I have to say that to you tonight. Doesn't matter how great a sinner you are, there's room under the wing of Jesus for you. There's a sincere offer in this, isn't there? The Lord calls, the Lord opens his wing. So the name and the nature of the gatherer. But then I want you to notice, thirdly, the neglect. The neglect of the people. The Lord Jesus says, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. In other words, they obstinately refused. The leaders of Jerusalem refused. They kept the people of Jerusalem from the gospel, hedged up their way. And the people themselves had no inclination or will to find out the truth concerning Jesus of Nazareth. The miracles were a call for them to inquire into his claims. The miracles were a call for them to consider him. But the inhabitants of Jerusalem would not. He would have gathered them. His call was to them all. His wing was wide open. All might have entered in. But they obstinately and stubbornly refused. They had great need, but they would not. Jehovah Jesus at the door, as it were, but they would not. As often as Christ would have gathered them in, as often they would not. They persisted in their refusal. And they persisted in their refusal until there was no remedy left. Verse 38. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And he went out and departed. The Lord Jesus Christ knocks at the door of the sinner in the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ stands knocking at the door of the sinner in the gospel. I know that that text was applied to a church of whom no good thing could be said, but inside that church meeting place, there were not only God's sincere people, there were sinners as well, just as tonight there is. Christ was outside the door of the church and he was knocking. And he didn't just say, if believers open the door, I'll come in. He didn't just say, if the saints open the door, I'll come in. He says, if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. And sinner, The voice of Jesus goes forth in the gospel. The voice of Jesus knocks at the door of your heart in the gospel. And the voice of Jesus in the gospel says, "Come, come unto me." The voice of Jesus in the gospel knocks at your door and says, "Believe, believe and repent." The voice of Jesus knocking at your door says, "Turn unto me and look unto me and be saved." He stands knocking. And he stands a long time knocking. Just as he spent several years knocking in Jerusalem. But there came the last day. There came the day when he knocked for the last time. And he went out and he departed and he said, "Now your house is left desolate. You'll not see me again until the great day." And sinner, Jesus is knocking at your door in the gospel. And he says, "Believe and repent." He has stood there knocking long. He may stand there longer still. But he won't sit there. He won't sit there. He stands there. He won't take up residence there. He stands there. And the reason why he stands there is he will either go into that heart in the power of his grace, or he will walk away and knock no more. "Behold, I stand." And sinner, don't neglect the call of the gospel. Don't neglect the call of the Lord Jesus. He has called you long. There may come a day when he may call you no more in the external call of his word. So today, while the wing of Jesus is extended and the arms of his embrace are opened wide to you in the gospel, and through the proclamation of his truth, he says, "Come unto me." Not unto the church. Not unto the preacher, not unto the altar, not unto anything but himself. "Come unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and besides me there is none else." And so, my fellow sinner, that's what I would call upon you to do tonight. Is to see the wing of Jesus expanded unto you, calling you as a mother hen calls the chicks. Listen to the alarm and trust in the shadow of his wing and believe in him with all your soul. Let us pray.